The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 31. It is page 114 of the New Testament. The words given to us today are Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 31. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Amen. Today's text begins like this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore..." When Jesus spoke in piercing reproach of hypocrisy of Pharisees and teachers of the law, so many people gathered that they nearly stepped on one another. And one of them from that crowd has stepped forward to ask Jesus to resolve a problem he was having about inheritance with his brother. But today's text is addressed not to the people, but to the disciples. It was addressed to the disciples because the words of the text would make too much demand on the crowd. And when Jesus says, "therefore," this signifies that there is a close relationship between what he is about to say and what was told before. And this is from verses 22 to 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." When a man who was in the midst of a dispute with his brother about inheritance and came to Jesus for help, Jesus told a parable about a foolish rich man and told him to get rid of greed. Greed of a person is like a black hole that swallows up whatever that comes his way. Greed is always a little bit bigger than what I have or what I enjoy. Therefore, I believe that if I get a little more than what I have now, or I get to sit on a seat that is a level higher, I would be satisfied. But when we actually get a little more and get the next higher position, our greed seems to be satisfied for a while. But we discover that our greed has grown a little bit bigger than them after a while. Now, do you think that if Jesus mediated between the man who came to him because of the inheritance problem and his brother in the way that the man wanted, so that he would get as much as he thought he should, or got a little more than even that, he would have been satisfied forever? There is no way that could be true. We cannot test that very fact. The person who came to see Jesus and the rich man of the Jesus parable thought that if they got a little bit more, they would become satisfied and their greed would disappear. But Jesus said that there was something that was more important than the wealth, and this is life. Even if one is at a very powerful position that many people envy, and even if one's warehouse is full of goods and the door to one's safe can barely be shut because of all the treasures and gold and silver, if that person cannot breathe in after he breathes out on this earth, the position that person enjoyed, the stuff the person owned and all, becomes something that has nothing to do with that person. People take off the clothes that person had worn and dress him in a shroud that has no pockets. Even if there is a mound of food that he loved, he can no longer eat it. So Jesus says, life is important. This is from verse 24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. In Matthew chapter 6:26, which contains a similar saying, now Matthew records it generally as, look at the birds of the air. But Luke specifically records Jesus as saying, consider the ravens. The bird that Jesus used to make his point about when one should point about how one should not worry about eating or drinking was a raven. Now, raven mostly feeds off the carcasses of dead animals. So Jewish people consider this bird to be very unclean and unimportant. In our country, too, in the past, a magpie was considered a symbol of luck, while a raven was considered to be a symbol of bad luck. And storeroom or barn are both places for storage. And a barn is similar to a warehouse that a rich man wanted to build in anticipation of having a great harvest. It refers to a general place to store things. On the other hand, a storeroom could be understood as a place to safely keep one's treasures. In other words, a raven does not pile up food to eat in order to take care of his future. Therefore, the meaning of the verse 24 is Jesus asking the disciples, if God feeds ravens, which you consider to be very unclean and lowly creature, why wouldn't God take care of you who were built according to his image? From this saying, there are three things that we should keep in mind as we continue in our faith. The first is that not worrying and not thinking are not the same things. There are many who think that they should not think when they're told not to worry. But having good faith means thinking in the right way. One's faith cannot mature unless it is accompanied with right thoughts. In the revival meetings of the past, we heard this exhortation often. Don't think too hard. Just believe. Don't try to measure out this and that. Just barrel in and believe. Then you will have an answer. I heard such sayings as if they were telling me that no brain is needed for faith. If you think rightly and deeply, but live simply, this is the shortcut to your faith maturing and growing. But if you do the opposite, by thinking simply, but making life complicated, It is difficult for one's character and faith to mature. The second thing is that it is simply not true that all accidents and misfortunes go around Christians. At times, strong winds in our lives sometimes goes around us, but there are times when it strikes out at us directly. During last week, there was a huge mountain fire at Gwosung, Seokcho, and Gangneung. The fire does not burn around the house because it is a home of a Christian. And sometimes you desire to escape illness or times of financial difficulty as soon as you can, but God leaves you there. Even today, there are countless numbers of patients who pray to receive healing at many prayer houses in our country, especially those who are terminally ill, are desperate to hold on to something. Therefore, they totally focus on the sermon of the preaching pastor, and when the speaker says, all the spirits of illnesses are ordered to flee tonight, there will be a resounding amen as a response, loud enough to blow off the roof of the prayer house. But if these patients all attend the service and pray earnestly, and if they believe that God will heal them 100%, does God really heal them all? And as for people who do not receive healing, do they fail to receive healing because they lack faith? Or because they did not make sufficient offering? No. Only those whom the God allows healing to happen will receive healing. So do not be flustered when, because of your illness or illness of a family member or an acquaintance, you prayed all night, you have fasted, or you have offered yourself to prayer for a set period of time, but no recovery comes. It does not happen because you do not have faith or because you're abandoned by God. Prophet Elijah revived even a dead person. He was a prophet who performed most miracles in the Bible other than Jesus. But even so, he himself died of an illness. Did he die of illness because he lacked faith? No. He died because death is a grace of God. And using the means God has given us well does not reveal our lack of faith, but on the contrary, reveals that we have faith. God can cure an illness miraculously, or he could make us become well through a treatment by a doctor. God determines that. If I keep stubbornly insisting that only one way could be God's way, God will probably say, hey, why don't we trade places? If I drive a car, but if I say, God will protect me so that I won't get into an accident, so I don't take out any insurance. How could a pastor take out an insurance? What would you think of me? Would you think, wow, that pastor really has great faith? Probably not. You will think, that pastor has an IQ of 75 at most. Sometimes a plane crashes. Mountain fires happen. Hurricanes sweep through. And buildings come crashing down. God is not ignorant of this. But what is clear is that no matter what we run into, it happens within the knowledge of God. And God is someone who makes all things work together for good. The third is that a Christian is not somebody who can do nothing and just sit around. Ravens do not grow worms for food. It does not plant grains in its yard. And neither does it store up things to eat. But it is also true that the raven does not sit on a branch of a tree each morning and opens his mouth in anticipation of God's feeding. Raven looks for food from early morning. What the raven does not worry about and think about are, will there be insects that I can eat? Will there be leftover meat that I can feed on after the wild animals have eaten? God cares for the birds in indirect ways. He provides the means for the birds to feed themselves and live. And so the birds look for their own food. And this is the same for people. We live the life given to us all the more diligently, with more passion, on dependence on God, because God is someone who takes care of our lives. There is a saying that rice crops grow by hearing the footsteps of a farmer. In order for a better harvest, the farmer must work from dawn to sunset, from spring. What the farmer does not need to worry about is, will there be enough sunlight? Will there be enough rain? What if all the crops are blown away because of a gale? And things like this. Once I visited a church, and the motto of the church was put up on the inside wall of the church, and this motto was, the church where a miracle is a common sense. It probably meant that at that church, sick people become healed, people who are pinched financially get more money to spend, a relationship that seemed beyond repair gets better, and hopes become realized. Would you like it if miracles became common sense in our church? It is good to have an experience where you cannot help but confess that God was with you. But this is so because God shows that He is with us and He's leading us. But if the miracles actually do indeed become matters of common sense, then it becomes problematic. When the children of Israel left Egypt and traveled through the wilderness, they could not grow grains there. So what God gave them was manna, and this manna, at first, was a miracle for the children of Israelites. The meaning of manna is, what is this? They saw this food from heaven, and they could not name it, so they asked, manhu, or what is it? Manhu, and became manna. In the beginning, manna was, for the children of Israel, the miracle, the very essence of miracle itself. But when this continued for 40 years, it became, literally became, just a common sense experience. But the Israelites said this about manna later: we detest this miserable food. It may be more easily explained, perhaps this way. God, we had boiled egg in the morning. Yesterday, we had steamed eggs. 1 month ago, rolled eggs. 1 year ago, egg soup. 40 years ago, raw eggs. We don't know if we're people or chickens. Rather than a church where a miracle becomes a common sense, better churches where a miracle and common sense both become grace of God. If the miracle is such a wonderful thing, God would have given us manna even today, every day. But manna stopped coming down after the people of Israel at the ate the grain of the first harvest after they started farming in Canaan. Rather than us living on 50,000 won or 100,000 won every day that God sends our way, it is a greater blessing for us to work diligently at work places where God has made us stay and receive a salary. The Jesus who said, "Think of ravens," also said this. This is from verses 25 to 26. "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" The Greek word for life, helikia, has the meaning of height of the body, but also span of life or age. Therefore, in some translations, the word height is used, while in others, life is used. I believe the word life is more suitable for this text. A span is a word which is used often in the word Old Testament, and it is a distance from one's elbow to end of one's fingers, about 45.6 centimeters in length. Now, the saying, "Can you add even a span to your height by worrying?" is meant to convey that worry does not help at all. But if the height of a person grows by 45.6 centimeters, it's something extraordinary. If my height were to increase by 45.6 centimeters, my height would be much taller than that of Mr. Seo Jang-un. And such height would come within the top 0.01% of the population in terms of height. Therefore, the common translation version of the Korean Bible translates this passage as, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" Now, the word worry is related to the word burden. But not only just the burden, but all kinds of burdens that one cannot handle very well. Therefore, a worry that exists between two persons separates them. And a worry that is between a person and God separates that person from God. Therefore, no matter what thought we have, if that thought unites our lives and faith with God, then it is a right thought. On the contrary, no matter what thoughts we have, if that thought separates us from God, then it becomes worry. Therefore, in today's text, if we were to find the opposite word to worry, it would be faith. Because worry is something that severs us from our relationship with God, while faith is something that binds us to God. And Jesus explained that one should not worry by giving yet another example, and this is from verses 27 to 28. "Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like the one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Solomon was a king who enjoyed the highest of glory and honor in the history of Israel. The age of David and Solomon dynasties in Israel is similar to the Gwanggaetu and Changsu dynasty during the time of Goryeo kingdom. That is when Korea had the largest territory. David started out as a shepherd and became a king after going through all kinds of hardships. But Solomon was born as a prince and became a king. On top of that, he was the wisest of men. From the view of the world, he deserved all the envies of people. There were probably all kinds of gourmet dishes on Solomon's dining table. And no one could wear the clothes that he wore in Israel, because it was made just for him. But Jesus said about Solomon's life, it was not as great as this flower. This was because the splendor that Solomon enjoyed was something that he tried to achieve on his own without trusting God. In order to maintain his power, he married many times for political alliance. He had 700 queens and 300 concubines. He probably did not even remember the faces of all his wives, let alone their names. And the foreign women who Mary Solomon brought along, the idols that they served. When Solomon became old, his faith also became corrupted along with these women. And Solomon enlisted the labors of common people for 7 years in order to build his temple and 13 more years to build his palace. And in order to maintain his palace, to eat even better, and to dress in even better clothes, he imposed oppressive taxes on people and imposed harsh state labor and military service obligations. Because of this, people's resentment reached the sky, and so ultimately, the country became divided between South and North after he died. According to Jesus' saying, Solomon's life was a life of continuous worry. Now, parents try to raise their children well and in the right way, to the best of their abilities. If money is needed for education, they will try to get the money by working longer hours if necessary, or even by borrowing or selling their house. If parents who have many limitations try to do this, how much more would God do for us? If we try to have a life that is in accordance with God's will as God sees it, why wouldn't God lead our lives and allow us to have things that we need? Father God feeds the ravens and makes lilies grow, but God is not a father to ravens and lilies. And even so, he takes care of them. Now for us, God is our Father. Why wouldn't God, who is our Father, take care of us, who are his children? I served the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial at Yongin during 2016 to 2017, a place where our church has been called to serve. During that time, I lived at a home prepared by the church at Yongin during the weekdays. It was May of 2017. I came home from work and found that furniture was abandoned at a corner of the parking lot. At the beginning and the end of the year, there are times when furniture was thrown out as people moved, but it was unusual to see it during the middle of the year. And I noticed that the furniture looked really good, much better than the ones I had at my home. And there seemed to be two photo albums among the furniture. I thought to myself, surely not. Can't be wedding photo albums. And opened them, but they were wedding photo albums. The first album had photos taken outdoors of the couple, and the other album had photos of the wedding itself. And inside the album, there was even a wedding invitation that had the date of the wedding printed on it. The album had belonged to a couple who had been married about 8 to 9 years, and I couldn't walk away for a while. I thought how happy they must have been when they took photos outdoors as they prepared for the wedding. And how happy they must have been at their wedding. They probably received a lot of well wishes and blessings from many people. They probably hoped that their new family would be happy for a long time with all their hearts. But then, what happened during that 8 to 9 years? What happened so that they lived apart like this and at last ended up throwing out the furniture and even the wedding albums? The building that I lived in at the time was a four-floor, one-room building with a filati structure. The first floor was the parking lot. The second to fourth floors each had 7 units. So there were altogether 21 residences. On the second floor where I lived, the units were all occupied. I didn't go up to the third and the fourth floor ever, so I don't know exactly how many people lived there. But I think most of the units were occupied. When I ran into the residents in the building or at outside of the building, I always first greeted them. But most people, most of them just nodded with their heads down without looking up and passed by. I also did not look at them with a particular attention or try to remember their faces. If I had passed them by on a street, I probably would not even have known whether they were residents of my building. But among those that I passed by like that, there must have been the person who threw out the furniture and the wedding albums. Even if I had greeted this person, I did not know that such person's heart was heavily weighed down by a rock. Then I thought, if I had known that he or she was in such a state, could I have helped them? And if such a person had known that I was a pastor, would he or she have asked help from me? Now we are all sitting here together at this worship hall now. But is it the case that our hearts are weighed down by stones that are too heavy for us to carry? Is it the case that although we pretend that nothing is the matter, that we are okay and we are happy, but in reality the burden of our life is too heavy for us? Aren't the saying of Jesus, not to worry, the very words that we need to hear right now? Today is the fifth Sunday of Lent, when we reflect on the suffering of the Lord and commemorate his resurrection. During the season of repentance, let us repent our foolishness of having filled our hearts with worry Although we profess to trust God and having busied ourselves this way and that, considering the splendor of Solomon as the best thing to strive for on this earth. Is your heart filled with worry right now? Whether it is worry about finances, about health, about relationships, no matter what kind of a worry may be, let us not fall into despair out of worry or become overcome with worry. Rather, let us give thanks that because of the things that we are worried about, we have come to regard the Lord all the more. And let us become built together in the Lord. The Lord, in order to take away that never going away worry, did not refuse suffering and even the death on the cross. And Father God is someone who sent this Lord to us. This Father God is someone who nurtures ravens, which are regarded as having little value, and makes lilies, which no one looks after, to grow. And Jesus, to each one of us at this hour, tells us how good God is. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, how much more will He clothe you? Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to confirm how precious we are to you, how much you care about us through today's words. If we are honest, we see that in truth, we had great envy for Solomon. Or rather, we had greatly envied the things that he had. We really hated the idea of living like a raven or a lily. We wanted to live in a better environment than others, eat food that was better than food others ate. We wanted to own more things, and we thirsted to be better than others, to get more attention and applause and acknowledgments. And so although we profess to believe in you and profess that we were your children, we at times turned our back to you and lived without any awareness of you. And so our lives often became separated from you, and worries never ceased. Please allow, during the season of Lent, this season of repentance, become a turning point where our lives change from worrying lives to trustful lives. Allow us to thank you all the more because we have things that we worry about, in that we have come to trust you more because of them. And so by living a life of trust in you, despite such worrisome things, allow us to live a life united with you and not separated from you, so that although we are living a finite life, we will come to live this finite life that becomes connected to eternity. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.